Joining me now for this special Hour 3 edition of the December Our Town are three members of the Oregon Coast Humane Society, formerly the Florence Area Humane Society. Jackie Allen is joining us, Robert Baer, and Ed Gervais is here. And welcome.
Thank you.
Obviously, you know, there's been a lot going on in the news, and a lot of the meetings have been reported on. We have not had a chance to talk to you guys yet about some of the things that are going on here. First, I'd like to know is, bottom line, how are things going at the shelter itself? Who wants to?
I think the shelter is operating very well. We had a city inspector come in, compliance officer, because he had a letter from the DOJ email, actually. And we have a clean bit of health. Whatever the complaints were are false.
What makes me curious is that at some point somebody got an idea in their head that something wasn't right. Was there a time in the past that things needed to be fixed or repaired, and that's what brought this on?
Well, there are some things that we needed to do, but as far as working on the dog kennels area and those areas, they were always clean. There were pictures that were staged pictures that were taken and given to the newspaper. Those were staged pictures. When I say stage, they came in and took pictures of feces and things like that. We did have a problem with the pellets being the wood pellets being dumped in one area, but that's been going on since 5 years ago. It's nothing new. It was never brought up before.
Okay. Robert, is there any sense of how this became such a heated issue? I mean, is there anything that you can point to a time when things were kind of okay and then all of a sudden, you know, it just got overblown?
Well, I would like to start out by saying I've been on the board 2.5 years. And when I first got on the board, and Jackie and Ed were both on the board also, we were going through some severe financial problems. And personally, I would only get on the board if, and I, when I interviewed, I mentioned this, unless we kind of straighten the financials out and kind of followed corporate law and corporate procedures. And that necessitated some change. And change is difficult for a lot of individuals. But it is a business, and we have some people on the board right now that I think probably have it going fantastic right now as far as the business sense. And we've made a lot of changes. Excuse me. We did our first audit. In fact, I don't think we had done an audit since 2006. We did our first audit, and we decided that no matter what happens, we were going to face the music. And because there had been rampant discussion around the community that funds had been misappropriated and things of that nature, so we had to clean that up. We did the audit, got a firm from Newport to come in who actually does a lot of nonprofits. And it took quite a bit of time, and we had a treasurer at the time, Robert Mueller, who spent a considerable amount of time coordinating that and seeing that through the end. Along with that, we took a look at our shelter, the way it was ran, our thrift stores, the way they were ran. And we started to implement new procedures and policies. And we did a total rebrand, which included a change of the name from the Florence Area Humane Society to the Oregon Coast Humane Society. And one of the things I personally bring to the table is I'm a grant writer, and I've been doing it for a number of years. But I knew to attract people that are firms that or organizations that would donate grant funds, we would have to have something other than just the Florence moniker. So we collectively decided to change it to the Oregon coast. And we've done some phenomenal things in the last couple of years. The programs we've initiated, Ed has this bottle drop thing that I'm sure he's going to talk about. Jackie has been instrumental in, because she has a business and a business sense. And, you know, being able to help out with a thrift store and getting all the financials together and doing the procedures there. And we've had other members that have done it too. But we have worked hard to change the direction. And I think we're doing very good. We are running it as a business now. We have corporate resolutions, which were never done before. I mentioned the audits. We have a profit and loss statement every month, a balance sheet. We have a treasurer that monitors all the funds and everything. And I think we're financially at that point where we're actually moving forward.
Now, to having seen some of the meetings and been in one of the meetings, there's a lot of questions that come up from folks, you know, in the audience, and a lot of questions that were raised, you know, in certain avenues. One of the things I think about, you mentioned that you sort of rebranded, you sort of restructured. I remember being at the meeting, they were talking about how, you know, people used to go into the thrift store and then you could just rummage through stuff. And now it's like boutique, and they use this word boutique that like it's a bad thing. And yet I'm kind of curious, since the changes have been made, have you seen the sales increase in the thrift store?
Yes, I have. Today we took in over $460, something like that.
Now, is this at the thrift store or the Christmas store? Or is it total?
No, this is just a thrift store. We have really cleaned the place up, and everything is well placed and everything else. It doesn't look like a dirty old shop. It's really clean. Everybody's concerned. We have some great volunteers, and we're short of volunteers, but we have the ones we have are really great cashiers. We are actually working from 12 noon to 10, 4, excuse me, 12 noon to 4 p.m., and we used to be there from 10 to 4, and we're still making the same amount of money, if not more.
That's good. And how's the Christmas store doing? Is that doing pretty well? I know that's about to wrap up, so...
It's about ready to wrap up. I'm not doing the accounting for it, but Jackie is handling the accounting.
Right. They're at about 14,000 right now, and they're finishing up. Friday is their last day.
Yes.
And they're only open for like a month, right?
Correct.
Wow. That sounds like a good amount.
They set up and work their little selves to death, and then they close up and they do a really good job. There are a couple people that have been there forever and ever doing it, and some new people that are in charge.
So your basically opinion then is that straightening it up, turning it into less of a rummage through stuff and more of a set where people can see things has helped sales.
We have so many people who come in and tell us how great the place looks and how nice it is to come in and shop.
Okay. Now, one of the other things that I heard mentioned, and you guys talked about it, and I heard from your voice that, you know, you mentioned that you're not a veterinarian. You couldn't really speak as to something happened, but you had a couple puppies that died, and you've been having trouble getting a veterinarian in. So how is – obviously, you're having to move – you're having to take animals out of town in order to get treatment, correct?
Yes. We've been going to Vernita for a lot of our services. This situation with the puppies, they were really young, and I talked to Tanya about it, and basically – they ended up with herpes, and it's a kind of a thing that when it hits the puppies, if they were older, they would have a little congestion. You'd have some hint there was a problem, but it just killed those three.
Their immune systems or something,
right? And it's transferred by the mother dog licking. That's how it was transferred to the pups, and so they got a handle on it. The other six are doing great. I looked in the window the other day. She's laying down on a condo, one of those beds with the sheepskin on it. And she's all you can see is her. She's sitting up, and there's six puppies all nursing on her.
Well, that's good. That's
But everything is doing great.
Well, what about the search for a vet? Well, how is that coming, and why do you think it's been difficult? I guess it's because there's just no vets in the area.
There's just no vets.
Not enough.
We've advertised. We advertise in the veterinary magazines. We've talked to the various vet colleges. We've talked to veterinarians to see if we could share some of their tech people with us, and they're not willing to do that. And so the animals are not without a vet. They're taken to Vinita. If there's an emergency, somebody here helps them with one of the two vet offices here in town.
But it would be nice to have somebody that is designated
right,
for you guys.
Because we're supposed to be set up. We have an actual fund to pay a vet to do spay neuters for the town. And that's what we would like to do. And it comes up at so many of the meetings why we haven't done that. And it's kind of like trying to get a contractor in this town or trying to get any other thing done. There just aren't people available. And it would be nice if the people that are anxious for us to get a vet would help. If they think that they could help us get a vet, that would be great. We would love the help if we could get it.
Well, you know, sitting in the meetings, and certainly I understand, you know, the people in the audience's side, because there's this certain passion, you know, for animals and wanting the health and well-being of animals. But when you're dealing with something, it must be difficult for the people working in the shelter. I mean, they have to deal with a sickness or a death, you know, on a daily basis, more so than, like, say, people in the audience would. So, I mean, it obviously affects them. They're not wanting, right? They're not wanting these animals to be hurt.
I don't think they'd have to deal with it on a daily basis.
Well, no, I don't.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're with the animals on a daily basis.
Right.
So they get to love, care
right.
for the dog. So when a dog gets sick,
No, it's upsetting for them when something happens that, right.
Well, there is a really good rapport between the Animal Welfare Committee, which I'm chairman of, and the manager. And if there is a problem, she will mention something to us, or if they're doing something. She did talk to me about the dogs, the puppies, when they passed away. And they were doing the right things. If I was very concerned, I would have called for a meeting and we would have looked into it. But we didn't have to. And like Jackie says, this doesn't happen daily. This doesn't happen daily at all.
Well, and I didn't mean to insinuate that. I was trying to say was that they are with the animals, caring for the animals on a daily basis.
Right. So when they have an emotional skin in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Bob, let me ask you something. And this is, you know, and I'm wondering if this is due to frustration of what's been going on between the audience and the board members. But it seems at times, just from watching, and I don't know the background of it, so maybe you could give me a background, understand a little bit better. But there seems at times when people are asking questions and they don't feel like they're getting the answers they want. Then again, sometimes I hear people make statements and there's never a question in there too. So I hear both sides of that. But is there a frustration and was there a point before I started coming to the meetings when they just weren't getting the answers they wanted to hear, so it became contentious? Or are there some things that you're not able to talk about or prepared to talk about at a certain time? Because it just seems like sometimes you guys aren't able to, like, answer the questions they ask.
I think what you just explained is exactly what's happened. Some of the people have been coming to the meetings for quite a while. And I believe that some of their questions have been asked and answered. And when you talked about maybe not getting the answers they want, that might have some bearing on this. Also, sometimes when you respond, the dialogue gets lost, and there seems to be some volatility in the audience. And we're volunteers. We're there. We're not making any money. We're there putting our time in. And some of the last few meetings especially have been very volatile. There's some hostility. We have legal counsel that's kind of given us direction on how to how they would like to see us conduct the meetings. And I think we're trying to follow that protocol. And I think individually, we try to answer everything we can. And sometimes if we can't answer it at the meeting, we'll get the answers for them and provide it for them. But no one's trying to hide anything. No one's trying to do anything other than do the best job we can. And it's a very difficult thing when you have a volatile crowd like that. And believe me, it's very uncomfortable.
Do you, you know, if you were to look at this from the outside, you know, from not being on the board, looking from the outside, do you see a way to bring the two sides together? I mean, can you guys think of a way that maybe there can be some resolution to this with still, you know, doing the jobs you need to do, you know, and yet try to find a way to meet this so it doesn't get any worse?
I think a lot of it is, a lot of what they've asked for has been done. And the couple of things that haven't been done needed to be first one thing, then the next thing, then the next thing. And we're doing that. You can't go to number five when you haven't done one, two, three, and four. And we're trying to do that.
For example, are you talking like they mentioned the dogs being in the rain?
Right, the shelters. Well, first we had to get the fencing done around the dog runs. That's being done. It's almost finished. The next step then will be to build the shelters. But it doesn't make much sense to build the shelters and then they're trying to fence around these things. So I think that if the group would listen to what we've accomplished instead of being mad about what they see as we're ignoring what they want done, I think the whole thing would be a different, and if they wouldn't be quite so angry at what's happening and not happening.
Well, what? Go ahead.
Want to make one remark about this? At the last meeting, they were telling us about the poor dogs out in the rain for 20 minutes. I can guarantee you that when they let the dogs out to go party like they do, the dogs are smart enough to go party and come back and sit by the door waiting to come in. Right. They're not sitting out there waiting for us to bring them in.
Right. Well, and you know, I mean, I'm a dog lover myself. You know, I love animals, but you know, dogs get wet sometimes. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't have a dog in this hunt, so to speak. So, but I just
that was a good
yeah. But
I like that.
For example, what about, okay, let's tackle another issue then. What about the dog walking aspect of that? I mean, there was a time when people could, yeah, Jackie, you want to hit this one. People used to be able to come get the dogs, I understand, right?
Right.
And now that's kind of changed.
They can actually still come and get the dogs. The problem was some of the dogs have health issues, some of the dogs have age issues, and so...
So certain dogs are like, it's sort of like any other place. Is like if you go to an elderly home, you could take a person out to lunch if they're within healthy reasons of doing so.
Correct. Okay. And it's the same thing. But if there are rules and you decide, well, that doesn't particularly apply to this situation and you do your own thing and then the dogs come back and they can't walk for a couple of days because they've been down on the beach when they have arthritis, it's very difficult for the dogs, and it's difficult for the people at the shelter to watch them then have to deal with the situation when they come back and they have diarrhea from eating things they're not supposed to. So anybody that wants to come and walk the dogs can do so. We no longer allow people to take the dogs on the beach because they were running them down on the beach and they were driving them in their cars. And the insurance company said, if there was an accident, we would be liable because the dogs were causing the accident by running around in the car. That was their description of it.
And again, it's a new rule.
Correct.
So the folks that have been doing it the old way, it's difficult for them to adjust
Correct.
To that. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Okay. So if they want to come and the dogs are in a kennel and they're all taken en masse to the beach and everybody walks them on the beach, they're put back in the kennels. Otherwise, they can come to the shelter, walk them around the paths that are by the shelter, and that hasn't changed.
So it's just, it's pretty much just the beach walking then. That's correct. That's more of the other.
Correct.
Okay. I have to say, you know, the meeting that Ed, that you showed me, the video you brought me, and the ones that they did the other night, and then the one meeting I was at too, I felt a little frustrated sometimes because I felt like you guys weren't answering. I was like them a little bit. You know, I was like, well, why aren't they answering this? It's, you know, it seems like a simple question. And again, does it go back to the frustration or does it go back to the ask and answered? I'm still kind of confused on that. I mean, you know, I think there's some, you know, I think there's some ways that things could be better, but it seems like there's still a lot of tension on the board side. Is that accurate or am I reading something into that? Or
I think there's a lot of tension because of the flagrant language used on different Facebooks that we don't respond to, things that are said that are not right. And my feeling is we don't answer those things. Those all it would do at a meeting is stir up more.
Okay. All right.
Now, the other thing is there are people, when you want to walk a dog, you have to fill out a volunteer form and you have to sign it. And I know for a fact that one of the particular dog walkers refused to do that.
So that pretty much handles that one. So yeah, I'm just trying to spread the love to see if we can find a way, you know, to kind of ease this, because I understand what you guys are saying. I mean, you guys are volunteers, you're doing this, you know, volunteer time, and you're making progress from what you're saying, Jackie. But yet it seems like there's a group of people within the meetings that, I don't know, still want to try to form this wedge between the board and the audience. Now, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what precipitated that.
I think you're reading that perfectly clear. There's a group that's has a mission, and that mission, whatever it is only doing harm to the very little creatures that we're trying to support and we're trying to help.
Hmm. Boy, I tell you what, this is a sticky wicket, I got to tell you.
It is, because when you have an attorney saying, just sit there and listen to what they have to say and say thank you very much and go on to the next one, you know, and they bring up the police officer and they say there's a police presence. If they were sitting at the table and could see what we're seeing, they would feel differently. I'm sure they would feel differently. They don't realize how much anger is in that room directed at all of us.
One of the things that happened at the last meeting, it was brought to our attention, and I actually heard it. Somebody say lock and load, and when you talk about the volatility at the meetings, you know, it's intimidating to be sitting there trying to do good for the community and report on it. And when you start taking in comments like that, it's very discouraging. But we're going to take a good look at how we either conduct the meetings and we're running this by our legal counsel right now. The interaction seems to be getting more volatile. Pardon me? And at the last meeting, for example, the officer that was there came up to us and told us that he was going to contact the police chief and recommend to the police chief that he contact us, and we no longer have meetings in a public forum like that until things calm down. He was even worried. In fact, he told us if something happened, it could have been horrible. And you could feel the tensions. And as volunteers, is it worth it?
It can be on both sides. I mean, when there's a certain amount of, you know, when a group gets together and they have this common goal, it definitely that whatever energy they're putting out is the energy that the whole room is experiencing on that. And it goes for good energy as well as bad energy. It's not just the negative part of it. Okay, let's move on to...
I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
What's your interpretation of this common goal?
Well, my thought is that the common goal is for the welfare of the animal. I mean, you know, or do you mean as far as the meeting setting goes?
No, that's...
Yeah, the common goal is the welfare of the animals. That's what the shelter's for, to make sure that the animals are taken care of.
And we usually start every meeting out by reading our mission statement, which covers that. And hopefully that sets the tone for the meeting.
Right. Well, I guess there's a point. There's got, like you said, you know, talking to the chief or whatever, if, you know, you guys have to calm things down, you know, for a while. But then again, there's still going to be the questions out there. There's still going to be people saying the things they say. They're not going to have an outlet for it by coming to the meetings other than, you know, their Facebook pages or whatever.
All the financial reports and all the reports that they've gotten at the meetings are going to be on the website. So none of that
right.
is going to be hidden under bushels or anything.
Well, let's talk about that, too, because there. I mean, I remember hearing at the meeting, and I don't know what the proper etiquette is for this, but they wanted the shelter manager there, and they wanted the thrift store manager there. And I just ask, is that something that is a normal thing, or is that not a...
It used to be. It used to be when we had...
Because there's board meetings, and right. then there's employees.
Right.
To my knowledge, you usually don't mix employees with board meetings.
No.
It's not a normal thing.
And the board meetings used to, all of those people that you've asked about, the shelter manager and the thrift store manager were there, and they'd give a little report, and the whole thing would last maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then everybody would be over and done with. That was before we had 20, 30, 40 people at a meeting screaming and yelling. Basically, they're employees, so they report to the board. We're the ones that have to report to the community at large.
But because it was a standard practice prior to that, that's the change again that they're not prepared for? I'm asking a question.
I'm going to go ahead and speak on behalf of the board. We have a responsibility to provide a safe and hostile-free work environment for our employees. They express concerns about their safety. We consulted with our attorney, and what we did is we incorporated the reports from the employees. The board decided to give their reports out and provide that safe and hostile-free work environment. That's exactly what happened. That's our job as board members.
Well, I'm a fixer kind of guy. I would love to be able to fix, but it's not my responsibility here. My responsibility is to find out.
We would love to be able to fix it, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. My responsibility is to find out what happened and what caused this major rift between you guys.
Okay, I think I'll say something about that. We didn't really have any problem about this until we told this one particular dog walker they could not walk dogs anymore. Then there was a big splash on a Facebook page and everything else. And somewhere along the line, this particular person has told me personally that they are going to get rid of Robert and I, that they're going to destroy us. I could go word for word of what they said. I don't know if you want word for word.
So, as long as there's no profanity in it, I mean, you know. But again, you know, this is hearsay.
No,
I have to say, you know,
this is not this hearsay. This is a recording. I have a
okay.
recording of it. And if I'm not mistaken, this person came up and I asked the person to leave because the person shouldn't be there. I was called a psychopath. After they went outside, I was called a piece of twice. And then when the person got into the vehicle, I was told that I was going to be destroyed, and that person was good at it. And that's all the time that person had to do it. And that is the basis of, in my opinion, is where a lot of the storm comes from.
Has there ever been any talk about doing a mediation or getting a mediator, or is that something that's not necessary or not allowed in this situation? I don't really know. someone, you know, to have them appoint someone in their group to be their spokesperson and do a mediation?
That really hasn't been discussed amongst the board. We're going through this complaint and review process through the Attorney General Department of Justice. It's a full investigation that they're doing. And actually, it's been, personally, I think it's good for the organization. I really do.
Well, I guess any questions will be answered then, right?
Yes. And just like the surprise visit by the compliance officer to check out the conditions of the shelter, it was done. I was told through the Department of Justice it was a request. It came down through them. And that's fine. They just showed up, and I'm glad it happened. It alleviated a lot of the things that were being said about the shelter. I feel confident that that'll probably happen with the actions of the board, whether it's through resolutions, minutes, audits, financial statements, so on and so forth. I feel good about our corporate strengths there, especially in the last couple of years. The mediation, that may be part of this. I don't know. We're going to find out what they're going to recommend. And, you know, I think this whole process may turn out good for the best.
Just
getting through it.
Whether you guys can not pull your hair out before it finishes, right? Or something.
You know, it's volatile, but we have our hearts involved with the mission statement, and we're doing a lot of good for the community and a lot of good for the animals. And I think it's really doing good. Right. It's just this aspect that's got to be rectified.
I can tell you that I have more experience than Jackie and Robert, because I've been involved with the shelter since January of 99. My wife and I have. And we've done many things. We've worn many different hats. And we've had a lot of different fundraisers. And so I'm very well aware of what's going on. A year ago, we started collecting cans. This year, we're up to over $8,000. And we buy the base food and supplies for the shelter with that money. That's what we do. And we sought out all the cans. And in 2018, there'll be a lot more cans and bottles with deposits on them. And so I'm looking at it to really grow. So.
Well, and Bob, you already said that the financial situation's coming around, right? I mean, you guys are doing fairly well.
Yes.
As far as that goes. But, and then I imagine some of that money is being spent on the shelters and the fencing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it costs money to put potty plank on the side of the building.
We've done some long-standing, we've taken care of a lot of long-standing issues. As far as the shelter is concerned, and even the financials. I would like to say one thing, though, that I think may help your understanding, George. When we started to experience what's happened here, we contacted Green Hill, and they had gone through something similar to this a few years ago. And I remember reading about it in the paper, in the Eugene paper. And we discussed it, and we contacted Green Hill, and they provided us with the names of their legal counsels that guided them through this situation they had. And we actually went and met, the board went and met with the Green Hill executive director and talked to several folks there. So we have their legal counsel. And we're hoping that what happened to them will happen to us here, which is things will be resolved to the best of their ability, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Because you guys don't currently have an executive director, do you?
There
are a couple things here. Now, is there positions on the board that are open right now, or is that filled? Is the board currently filled?
We could add people to our board.
Because I know that was an issue too of how it's been done in the past and how it's done now.
It takes five board members to constitute a legal board with our bylaws. Mm-hmm. We've met that. And we have a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. We have those things all covered. What's happened, and this was brought up a couple years ago. I know when I got on the board, I have a corporate background, and one of the things I said is we need an executive director. I think now it's probably echoing amongst the other directors that we ought to really look into it. And I think we are seriously going to start a search for one. So that could be coming. And I think that would help.
Now, an executive director has to have, like, grant writing experience and stuff like that, preferably. Correct. That's...
Some sort of a corporate background.
Yeah.
And also the skills to handle fundraising, work with volunteers, work with the board and work with the various committees, budgeting, financials.
And they would have more of a presence with the community than, say, your employees. That's a different position there. They would have
absolutely
more responsibility.
Absolutely.
For that.
And we have been discussing that very, very heavily in the last few months. So anybody want to add anything to that?
I think the basic thing an executive director would do would be to take the board off of being in charge of so many things. We would be actually a board like everybody else, and then the executive director would be in charge of the thrift store.
Right. The issues come to you, and
right,
then you give them to the executive director and say, fix it.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
That's what's normally
right.
And that's what we don't have now. So there's five people scurrying around trying to solve all these problems.
How long have you been without an executive director?
We've never had one.
Never had one.
No,
wow.
Never did.
That's why I said when I came on the board, it's something that we need to do, and I think everybody probably feels that way now. So that's something we may start doing a search for.
We
will.
Already talked to somebody.
Yeah, we have.
All right. Well, I said, I wanted you guys to be able to hear your side, because I heard the other side loud and clear, but I didn't get from your sense, because in the meetings, you guys don't really, you're trying to keep things calm, so you're not really getting into it with the crowd from what I could see. And that's just my personal, observation there. But I wanted to see why. And I think maybe I have a little clearer picture, now after doing this. You guys got anything else? Anything you want to...
Jackie? We really appreciate you having us out here and asking us questions about it that can get out to the public so that they can understand somewhat of what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, and I think it's important that both sides are heard. I have no problem with the other side saying what they say, but I also want to hear the other side. There's never only one story, you know what I'm saying? And in the news business, if I'm only hearing half of what the people are saying, I'm forming an opinion on that. And I was forming an opinion based on what I was hearing. And I was saying, well, I need to get you guys in here so that I can make that opinion more round than flat.
I really appreciate the opportunity, George. I really do.
This is the first time anybody's ever questioned me personally about different things, and I appreciate that. And you're right. No story's told till you hear both sides. So I want to thank you for allowing us to come in and address your issues, and we'll be glad to come back if you need some more clarity.
Yeah, well, certainly. The things that obviously we talked about, were things that I heard in the meeting, so I wanted to ask about those. And again, like I said, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I just want to hear both sides, so that and I want people to hear both sides too, so that they can, you know, they can form an opinion, and that maybe in the future people will come and ask questions, you know, instead of, you know, making assumptions. So.
Well, making assumptions from something you read and then writing letters to the editor based on what you've read, rather than actually being in a meeting and hearing what's happened, and it makes a big difference.
But again, like I said, you know, my understanding going to the meeting, it's like, you know, and I'll just be honest with you, Ed, you came in here saying, you know, here, watch this video, listen to this, come to the meeting. And the meeting I went to, I was like almost jumping in bed with the people behind me, because I didn't see you saying the things that you were saying to me in here. And I guess it's because you couldn't or wouldn't or whatever. But I was kind of confused. I was like, okay, you wanted me to come see this, and then all I'm seeing is being staunch and like, you know, well, you know, I got nothing to say. So, you know, so it was really tough.
I'm just following the guidelines that I was given.
Right.
I just
I get that, but I'm just saying. I mean, I wanted, and that's why I wanted to hear it from you guys.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to have that opinion, because I knew something was going on there that you guys were either trying to keep the peace, or you weren't able to answer the questions they were asking, or something. I knew something was going on.
I personally felt that every time you answered somebody, you had three or four people all shouting at the same time.
Right.
And the meeting just it was lost.
Well, you know, there's a little thing called Robert's Rules of Order.
maybe, there is.
maybe they ought to hand out copies of that when you go into the meetings. Well, thank you all for being here tonight.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And
thanks,
look
George.
Forward to you guys getting all this figured out and peace on earth. You know what I'm saying?
Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.